The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Texans take an ugly one in Jacksonville, but the result is only part of the story. Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Pulillo and at Josh Jordan 975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. Speaking of Josh Jordan, shout out to Josh for nailing the prediction almost on the nose. He predicted 24-20, but of course the Texans don't cover. 23-20 is the final. Texans defense was on skates in that fourth quarter, and that's how they allowed that backdoor cover by Jacksonville. In the big picture, the story of this game will be the dirty hit by Alshire that took out Trevor Lawrence. But I think more acutely for the local media and fans, the conversation is going to be about how that play is emblematic of a larger issue with Houston. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. D'Amico Ryans told the media at the half, "That's not us. We play smart. We play clean." That is just categorically false. That may not be what they strive to be, but smart and clean, they are not. Lance Zierlein made the observation on an X following that incident that he would have never guessed that a D'Amico Ryans coached football team would be so undisciplined every single week. And guys, that's just the truth. Awful penalties, missed assignments, slow getting plays called in on offense. What did you guys think of the Alshire incident and all the reactions that followed?
Shame on anyone defending it. That was a goon play. That was a punk play. And if this was 30, 40 years ago, you'd be saying, man, that guy was playing as if on a steroid rage, completely unhinged after the fact, still running around the field unchecked. Where's Texan security? It was an embarrassment. Will Anderson finally helping get him down the tunnel in the corner. It was a dirty play. It's the second week in a row Alshire commits a personal foul. Last week, it was a runner clearly out of bounds. This was a quarterback in a slide position. And you know what? Even if he's diving forward, Alshire launched himself a downward angle, you know, a WWE flying forearm, and then you have helmet-to-helmet contact on top of that. It was a disgrace. He should be suspended because he's a repeat offender in the personal foul game, right? Fines are trivial. You know, a $12,000 fine for a guy in a three-year, $34 million contract. There's probably been something dirtier since. But that scored near on the scale. The play that popped to mind to me was in a playoff game 8-9 years ago. Vontaze Burfict, a chronic recidivist, cheap shot offender, Cincinnati Bengals. He might have altered Antonio Brown's brain. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown's long had issues. But when he destroyed Brown with a flagrantly dirty hit in a playoff game, that, by the way, put the Steelers into field goal range for a game-winning kick over the Bengals. Just an indefensible Alshire penalty there. 40, 50 years ago, well, or maybe a little more recently than that, Buddy Ryan calls to knock the other quarterback out of the game. These are not the times we live in. CTE, fair play. What about the brotherhood of NFL players? I hope with a few deep breaths, Azeez Alshire has the humanity to say that was awful.
It could have been worse. He didn't launch with his helmet into Trevor Lawrence's helmet. So I saw a lot of people making it seem like that was the narrative. It was more of a forearm, like Charlie was saying. If he just would have hit him a little lower with that forearm, hit him in the chest instead of the neck and head area, then maybe you have some kind of argument. You're still in trouble for hitting him when he's going into a slide, but at least you're not contacting the head area where everybody, you know, kind of freaks out about for good reason. I hope he's not suspended for that. You know, what's the Dolphins game, I guess, when they come back. I hope that's not the case. But the way everybody was talking about it during these halftime shows, it wouldn't be surprise me at all if he is. I'll also say you notice quite a bit of a drop off when he came out of the game. The Jags were able to just kind of run the ball down the Texans' throat for a while that they weren't even really having to throw. So you really missed him. Also makes me think, is Christian Harris ever coming back? What is going on with this guy? I thought Mixon made a comment a few weeks ago about how he might be coming back soon. I mean, we're in the final stretch of the season. We haven't heard a peep out of him since training camp. So I just wonder if he'll be able to come back, because if you do lose Al Shire, it'd be nice to have another linebacker you could plug in there, even though he's not necessarily a middle linebacker, but he's a good player. So we'll see what happens with that one. But yeah, I noticed that fall off there. And then the ripple effect, right? We got lucky where Nico Collins took kind of an elbow to the side of the head later in the game. It felt like the Jags were trying to get a little revenge on some of the Texans players after that. So Nico took a hit. Luckily, he passed the concussion protocol, came back out. He was fine. Dalton Schultz jumped up in the air, and you could tell they were going out of their way to drive him into the ground. He had to come out of the game after that play. I was worried maybe he broke his collarbone or something like that. So that's something else you have to worry about. When you have plays like that, the other team is going to try and get some payback. And that's the last thing you need, is somebody like Nico Collins to go down in a game against the Jaguars when you have playoff aspirations.
Two quick thoughts. Christian Harris, if we didn't know better, you'd think he's an Astros pitcher, the way he gets hurt and you never hear from him, see him again. And secondly, to the hard hits list, someone get a memo to Henry Toto to stop taking out his own guys.
Yeah.
Or Lassiter, for that matter, as well. Some friendly fire against Jamie Ward. I think it was Moose Johnson that implied at the half that maybe all of the antics from Al Shire after the incident were to make sure that he got tossed, knowing that there would be a target on his back in the second half. Guys, the Texans offense has been fighting against themselves in the second half all season. This week, almost the converse of that. 6 points, just 24 rushing yards for Houston in the first half, 17 points, 2 offensive touchdowns in the second half. What did you guys think about the Texans offense this week?
Joe Mixon wasn't averaging a yard per carry through a quarter of the game. And in the end, he ekes out yet another 100-yard rushing game on the road, his 11th touchdown of the season thrown in there. Nico Collins just continues to hang up huge numbers every week. You know, I'm not saying he's peak Calvin Johnson quite yet, but the other teams know that he's by far the number one weapon and target in their passing game, and nobody can do anything about it. You know, overall, in terms of the game, I mean, it was hideous for a lot of it. But hey, in the second half, even if against a lousy Jaguars team with a backup quarterback in the game, well, the offense doesn't face a backup quarterback. And the offense did, after going 3 and out, its first possession of the second half, did go touchdown, field goal, and then when it got too close for comfort, never let Jacksonville touch the ball again. Joe Mixon doing that, not quite single-handedly, but close enough. So, you know, this is an all-right team. It's not close to being a great team. 4-0 against the Colts and Jaguars by a combined 12 points. The Colts are bad. The Jaguars are horrible. But you know what that means? 4-0, right? The Tennessee debacle thrown in there. They're going to win this division, and then they just hope to find a level they really haven't found this season yet when the playoffs get here.
Yeah, you have to wonder too. After that Titans game, we're talking about, well, the Titans did have a really good run defense, and you know, Will Levis really played well, and maybe they're just a little better than we thought. And then you look at him today, they lost 42-19 to the Commanders. So Titans aren't a whole lot better. It's just the Texans didn't play very well last week. So hopefully they can use this time to get healthy, figure some things out. I was a little worried early in the game. I think it was the first play of the game. There was a free rusher that drilled CJ Stroud. And once again, it's what we talked about in the preview. It was Scruggs and Patterson just blocking the same guy and letting another guy just scream in and drill CJ Stroud. So I was thinking, oh no, here we go again. They still don't have this thing fixed. But no, that it was a bad sign early on, but throughout the game, I felt like the protection was pretty good. I didn't have a big problem with the interior guy, so maybe they've cleaned that up a little bit. The Jags do have some good pass rushers. They don't have any big bodies in the middle to the level of like a giant like Sweat or, you know, or somebody like that, but I thought they did a pretty good job. You got Mixon going, makes a big difference when he can run, but I noticed also he only running back on the Texans that had a carry this week was Joe Mixon, and he left the game rolling his ankle and was still the only running back with the carry. So you just have to wonder, are they ever going to get Damian Pierce in here? They just must not have much confidence in him. And then finally, the passing game is Nico or basically nothing else. It was nice to see Dalton Schultz, 61 yards, 5 catches. That was good to see. But Tank Dell, 1 catch for 23 yards. Now, he might have had a deep touchdown if CJ wouldn't have underthrown him a little bit on that pass. But otherwise, I mean, they got to get something going with some other guys, because, you know, I'm happy with the win, but you're not going to be playing the Jaguars every week. You're going to have to find other ways to score some points. So good to see CJ take care of the football. Good to see Nico come back from that concussion. That was huge. And to see Mixon come back from rolling his ankle, got it taped up. Jimmy Ward got evaluated for a concussion. I was just glad that looks like relatively healthy they got out of this game, because then you get that extra week to heal up, and then you have three really tough opponents after that.
And on the penalty front, while Al Shire's punk play is probably the number one talking point, but it was a low penalty game for the Texans overall. After a couple of typically Texan stupid penalties in the first quarter, it's bad enough if you line up in the neutral zone as a defensive lineman. If you're an offensive player and you line up in the neutral zone, Cade Stover and then Danico Autry on a third down jumps offside, giving the Jaguars a free play. They turn into something. But after that, a pretty clean sheet for the Texans, with one egregious exception.
Josh, you mentioned the Devin Lloyd play. The very first play of the game, Devin Lloyd unblocked right to Stroud, and you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. But as you mentioned, only two sacks surrendered for the entire day. The flip side of that, Texans get zero sacks. And the Texans defense allows two fourth quarter touchdowns that made this game a lot closer than it really should have been. I mean, obviously, they were exhausted by that point. Texans not putting a lot of long drives together in this game. Charlie, Josh, what did you guys think about the Texans' defensive performance this week?
I mean, showed signs of fade late. Did they get caught playing the clock a little bit? That, all right, let's avoid giving up the big plays the Texans give up too often. I mean, they didn't get beat for a bomb today. A catch and run turned into a big gainer. I just think that part of the NFL is a lot of games are closer than they're supposed to be. I mean, look at the Chiefs and Raiders on Friday. The Seahawks needed a crazy comeback to beat the Jets on Sunday. And the Texans just aren't good enough to be hammering teams. I mean, they have a couple of wins over dregs of the league, and also one loss to a dregs of the league type team. And almost everything else they've been in is a one-score game.
Lack of pressure was concerning, and it's Mac Jones going up and down the field on you, and they were able to run the ball pretty well. But when it mattered most, the Texans got the job done. I will say that big play from Brian Thomas, it kind of reminded me, it was just a short little crossing route just right across the field, and then he took it up for a huge gain up down by the sideline, almost a touchdown. Reminded me a little bit of the play to the tight end for the Titans last week. Just, you think just a short little crossing route, no big deal. And the Texans somehow, they kind of blow the coverage and let the guy almost take it to the house. At least this week, they were able to get him out of bounds or get him down, get a field goal there instead of the touchdown. Unlike in the Titans game, that touchdown really killed you. So I thought the Texans did a pretty good job in the red zone, forcing some field goals there throughout the game. And I guess Fairbairn, another one, nice to see him get back on track this week and after that big miss against the Titans. So I thought that was important. I think the defense is just tired, Brandon, to answer your question. It was nice to see Stingley have that interception. Lassiter had some good plays in the running game, but he also had some bad plays in pass coverage where he just fell down. He had one where he basically would have given up a touchdown, but the throw was just off target, or he would have given up another TD. But Jimmy Ward, we're going to see if he can keep rolling in that spot, if Petrie's going to be able to return. I think this will be a couple weeks where we just got to see who's going to be available. But I think the defense, after a little rest, Brandon, I think that's what they need here, just to get them a little break, get some guys healthy, and maybe a little mental time off as well.
Stingley is just excellent playing the ball, but he's lucky Trevor Lawrence badly underthrew that ball, because Brian Thomas was clearly behind him, and that would have been the long bomb touchdown that we've seen the Texans give up. And then another one that just I find annoying from a Texans perspective, I guess credit sometimes has to go to the offense. They scheme and game plan too, but Thomas's touchdown nearest defender is Neville Hewitt. I don't want a linebacker covering the other team's number one passing game weapon, and we've seen the Texans get caught in matchups like that several times this season.
It's a weird thing to ask after such an ugly win, but who's your MVP after this game, Charlie?
I'm going Nico. Anytime there seems to be a third and long, you're thinking, throw him the ball, give him a chance to make the play. And I figure the defense has to be considering the same thing. They're probably going to throw to Nico, try to let him make a play, and he just makes so many plays. Yet another 100-yard game for him. missing a chunk of the season, he could still wind up being a 1,500-yard receiver, so I'll go Nico Collins.
Can't go wrong with Nico. I'll give it to Joe Mixon. They needed him to ice this game today, to pick up that first down, run out the clock, and to see him come back from injury. And Nico, too, came back from injury. So I'll go with Joe Mixon there.
It'd be one of those two. I mean, obviously, CJ threw for 242 yards and a touchdown today, so that's not a bad one either, but I think it's one of the two gents that you talked about. I think I would probably tend to lean the way of Mixon since he was able to ice the game for them late. I think we'll put a pin in it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans On Tap. If you're here and you joined us, we appreciate you joining us late. Make sure you hit like and subscribe to the channel. Click those notifications so you know when we go live after every game. For Josh and Charlie, I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you next time. Till then, go Texans.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.